Today is the third Sunday in Lent, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There is benediction this evening, benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, 6 p.m. You're invited to come to benediction this evening. You're all invited. But now that we're thinking about it, we commend you because of your attendance at the Stations of the Cross. Very impressive. Almost all of you are here. A few of you weren't here. We won't talk about those. But almost everybody was here. So we praise you for this. This evening at 6:30, so right after the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, there is an adult catechism class in the hall and online. The cleaning of the chapel will be tomorrow after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. Stations of the Cross again this Friday, followed by benediction and confessions. That starts at 7 p.m. Bake sale in the hall next Sunday, Laetare Sunday. March 10th. Please bring your favorite baked goods and put a price on them. And please assist us by cleaning the hall after the bake sale. Novena to St. Joseph begins next Sunday, March 10th. To prepare for the feast on Tuesday, March 19th. Catechism classes for the children scheduled for Saturday, March 16th. That's what they're scheduled for, March 16th. Those are canceled. No catechism until after the 8:30 a.m. Mass on April 20th. April 20th is the next catechism class. Reserved parking signs in the front of our house at the parking island are for the people who do work for us. Those reserved parking signs are not for you. They're not reserved for you. Reserved for our people that come and cook our meal, do cleaning for our house, etc., work on our computers. Do not park in the reserved parking signs, please. This week there are some beautiful and important feasts. So, for instance, today is the feast, not on the universal calendar. I've spoken about her in the past to you, so we don't say very much about her today. Saint Cunegundas, who was empress and wife of Saint Henry, whose feast is in July, July 15th. He and his wife agreed, this was before he was the emperor, they agreed to marry and to live a life of chastity. And that's what they did. And then not long after they married, they became emperor and empress. This is right around the year 1000. They were crowned by the Pope. Saint Henry, with the assistance of Saint Cunegundas, his wife, was the one we can say that was responsible for the credo in our Mass. He didn't compose it. We've told you this before, but we find it fascinating, and so we tell you again. He was in Rome, being, maybe it was when he was crowned emperor. And he noticed that there was no credo at the Mass. And so he asked the Pope, why, this is after 1,000 years of Christianity, why there's no credo at our Mass here? And the Pope said, that's for the rest of the world. Rome has the faith. We've never lost the faith. We don't need to express our beliefs. Everybody knows that we believe and everything's in the credo. And the emperor said, requested, would you please make the credo for the entire Catholic world? And he said, okay. So St. Cunegundes, after her husband passed away, she had nothing left in life. She had spent all of her fortune building churches and convents. And so she went to the convent and requested to be admitted, and they took her in. And she finished her life in the convent. We also mentioned today, on tomorrow's St. Casimir from Poland, Wednesday, St. Perpetua and Felicitas, Thursday, St. Thomas Aquinas, Friday, St. John of God. And on Saturday is a saint that most of you are quite familiar with, and you know her story, at least to some extent. But we mention it again because some people don't know it, and we think it's good for you to know it, and that is St. Frances of Rome, who, when she was a little girl, she was very devoted. Very devoted to her prayers and to God and to a life of holiness. And when she was 11 years old, she was born in 1384. When she was 11 years old, she wanted to go into the convent. And her parents said, no, you're not going into the convent. We have your husband picked out for you. You're going to marry him. And so she did. And they lived a life of holiness. It says in her biography that they never had a disagreement. Now that means that they were humble enough to, says they vied for in virtue. In other words, each one of them wanted to be the one who gave in whenever there was a possible disagreement. And so they always agreed. She performed terrible penances on herself. And when her son, Evangelista, passed away, just a boy, she was inconsolable. And because of her devotion, she was given a gift. We want to tell you, before we tell you what the gift that she was given, we want to tell you what she said, this holy woman. She said, a married woman, and we say this not just to the married women here, or to women in particular, but to everyone, because this is true for all of us. She says, a married woman must, when called upon, quit her devotions to God and find him in her duties. One time, she was trying to say her prayers, and she was called away on a duty. She came back later to finish her prayers, and as soon as she started her prayers, she was called away. This happened 5 times. When she came back the 5th time, those words that she was trying to pray were in gold. And so her son passed away. And her son appeared to her after a time. "Is it you indeed?" she cried. "O son of my heart, whence do you come? Who are your companions? What is your abode? Angel of God, hast thou thought of thy mother, of thy poor father, amidst the joys of paradise? Hast thou remembered earth and its sufferings?" Evangelista looked up to heaven with an unutterable expression of peace and joy, and then fixed his eyes on his mother and said, "My abode is with God, my companions are the angels. Our sole occupation, the contemplation of the divine perfections, the endless source of all happiness. Eternally united with God, we have no will but His, and our peace is as complete as His being is infinite. He is Himself our joy, and that joy knows no limits. There are 9 choirs of angels in heaven, and the higher orders of angelic spirits instruct in the divine mysteries the less exalted intelligences. If you wish to know my place amongst them, my mother, learn that God, of His great goodness, has appointed it in the 2nd choir of angels, and the 1st hierarchy of archangels. This, my companion," there was an angel with him, "is higher than I am in rank, as he is brighter and fairer in aspect. The divine majesty has assigned him to you as a guardian during the remainder of your earthly pilgrimage. Night and day by your side, he will assist you in every way. Never amidst the joys of paradise have I for an instant forgotten you or any of my beloved ones on earth. I knew you were resigned, but I also knew that your heart would rejoice at beholding me once more, and God has permitted that I should thus gladden your eyes. God's angel henceforward stood visibly by her side and never left her." When Evangelista had parted from his mother, she fell prostrate on the ground and blessed God for his great mercy to her, the most worthless of sinners, for such she deemed herself, and then turning to the angel who stood near her, she implored him to be her guide and director, to point out the way she was to tread, to combat with her against Satan and his ministers, to teach her every day to become more like in spirit to his and her Lord. When she left the oratory, the archangel followed her and enveloped her in a halo of light, remained always visible to her, though imperceptible to others. The radiance that surrounded him was so dazzling that she could seldom look upon him with a fixed gaze. At night and in the most profound darkness, she could always write and read by the light of that supernatural brightness. Sometimes, however, when in prayer or in conference with her director, or engaged in struggles with the evil one, she was enabled to see his form with perfect distinctness. His aspect is full of sweetness and majesty. His eyes are generally turned toward heaven, Words cannot describe the divine purity of that gaze. His brow is always serene. His glances kindle in the soul the flame of ardent devotion. When I look upon him, I understand the glory of the angelic nature and the degraded condition of our own. He wears a long, shining robe, and over it a tunic, either as white as the lilies of the field, or of the color of the red rose, or the hue of the sky, when it is most deeply blue. When he walks by my side, his feet are never soiled by the mud of the streets or the dust of the road. He stayed with her for 23 years. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becomes saints, or obscenity, or foolish talk, or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this, and understand that no fornicator, or unclean person, or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breasts that nursed thee." But he said, "Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, brethren, we have a great deal to speak to you about. First of all, the epistle. Very beautiful words of the Holy Ghost and St. Paul. And they say that just as little children imitate, and even older children, try to imitate their parents because they hopefully love their parents, but especially, as St. Paul says, because the parents love them as most dear children. That's what he says. Love, imitate God as most dear children, meaning that God loves us infinitely. And we should do everything possible to imitate him, just like little children, because of his love for us. We should do everything possible to be like God, because his love for us is infinite, and his affection for us, if it were not part of our faith that he loves us like this, that he gave his life for each one of us, if it weren't part of our faith, we couldn't believe that our Creator, that a God could love his creatures this much. He knew that would be infinitely painful for him because he was God. He did it for you and for me. And so how much we should try to imitate him. So much that we want to give ourselves to him completely, to be as he is, loving, affectionate, wanting to give ourselves completely, like martyrs, to show him our love. How often do we just want to show him our love in return? The Son of God desires that we avoid all of these terrible sins that are mentioned by the Holy Ghost. Unmentionable sins. He says, don't even let these things be mentioned among you. If anyone speaks to you about anything unclean, impure, immodest, or for that matter, covetous, about how much money we should have. We know of little children who talk about becoming rich. Little children, how are they going to make their fortune? We hope if you hear something like this, you will simply walk away from that person, even if he or she is your friend. Don't be around people like that. We remember our We know times have changed a little bit in the last 100 years, but we remember our own father when he was in school with his fellow Catholic, there's a Catholic school, fellow classmates, someone said something that was not right. We don't know what it was. Something of this nature. And someone else in the group said, "Hey, Tom is here." Who's Tom? Thomas was going to become a priest. And he said, "You don't talk like that in front of Tom." And he did become a priest. Cousin of ours. So you might pray for him. Please. These things should not even be mentioned among us. How unholy it is. St. Paul says, how unbecoming of a saint, saints, us. He refers to us as saints, not because we're holy like them, but because we're trying to be holy like them. And in fact, we are supposed to be holy. We receive the Blessed Sacrament, don't we? We receive the Son of God, whole and entire. Not that much of Him. We receive into our souls, our minds. What a terrible thing if we have anything on our souls, a sinful nature, and subjecting our God to that when we receive Him. Anything unbecoming a God. What a terrible thing. And also St. Paul says in his epistles something about, but only let it thanksgiving be among you. And so we tell you the story that St. Augustine mentions, that he says that in his time, this is the 4th and 5th century, he says Catholics greet each other when they see each other. They greet each other with Deo gratias. They don't say hi. They say Deo gratias. Thanks be to God. That's the way they said hello. Now we know that these things that are mentioned among us, that St. Paul mentions, are very difficult because they are all around us, aren't they? Many times they're in our hand if we're not careful, or they can be in our hand just like that. So, they are all around us. And we know they're difficult to avoid and to resist because of all the talk and all of the other things that bring these temptations to us. But they can be resisted. And you know how to do it, don't you? We remind you, just in case you forgot something of them. So, number one, the Holy Rosary. If you don't pray the Holy Rosary every day, you're in trouble. Our Blessed Mother came down on earth a little over 100 years ago. She did this more than once. but we're thinking of Fatima. And she asked us, you and me, to pray the Holy Rosary. And we are expected to do that every day, not once in our lifetime or occasionally. The way we resist temptations by praying, being devoted to her and what she asked us to do. We know many people who pray several rosaries every day. They pray the rosary all day long. They sit in their trucks and they pray the rosary all day long. We know many people like that. Holy Rosary, mental prayer. Do you all practice mental prayer? If you don't practice mental prayer, your salvation is in grave danger. If you don't know how to practice mental prayer, see somebody. Mental prayer is absolutely necessary for your salvation. Spiritual reading. If you do not do spiritual reading, the saints tell us we should practice mental prayer for a half an hour a day. And spiritual reading for at least 20 minutes, hopefully longer. The idea is to fill our minds with God, not with the other stuff that we have to deal with during the day. Fill our minds with God. Don't forget the importance of receiving the sacraments. Sacraments are essential. Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, Sacrament of... You remember, we don't call it confession. We get under our Father Superior's skin. Sacrament of Penance. We go to the Sacrament of Penance often. We say at least once a month. Sometime we will tell you what you gain in the Sacrament of Penance that you have lost. And you must gain it back. And another thing that's very important, and that is praying to your guardian angel. We have a devotion to our guardian angel. We pray to him often during the day. And he has saved us many times from many very dangerous things. Angels are extremely important. Our chapel is filled with angels now because of all of our guardian angels who are here. You might not know this, but every time a priest offers Mass, he is given a special angel for that Mass. So the idea is to overcome the evil which surrounds us and, so to speak, pollutes us with God and the things of God. All of the saints who spoke about anything related to God, the doctors of the church, the fathers of the church, theologians up until modern times, since Vatican II, all these theologians, all of these saints, these great teachers, if they say anything about saving their souls, they always say what we just told you, the importance of these things, prayers, sacraments, almsgiving, fill our minds, our souls with God. But we're going to give you a quote from someone, because we have spoken to you often about what the saints and doctors of the church have to say in corroboration of what we have just said to you about the importance of these practices to save your souls so that you don't go to hell. If you don't pay attention to these things, you will go to hell. So will I, if I don't do them. So, we've spoken to you enough about what all of us have to say. We want to read something to you from a pagan. This person believed in God, but he had no sacred scripture. He had no revelation at all. Aristotle. He was not perfect. Nobody's perfect. He made a mistake or two. But this is what he has to say. This is a pagan philosopher. He didn't know anything about revelation. He reasoned to the existence of angels. Man should be attracted to divine and immortal things. As much as he is able, and however little he may see of these things, that little is to be loved and desired more than all knowledge he has of inferior substances. We read it to you again. Man should be attracted to divine and immortal things as much as he is able. And however little he may see of these things, that little is to be loved and desired more than all knowledge he has of inferior substances. Pagan philosopher. So, be sure to pay close attention to your spiritual life. And now, we mention to you the dangers that you're in because of all of the devils that surround us. Hopefully not right now, but they are waiting for you to go out those doors over there. And these evil spirits are extremely clever. They put us to shame. Lucifer was brilliant. Highest of all the angels, Lucifer. And the other angels are brilliant also. And they know exactly what to do to us. And they are vicious. Extremely malicious. They will do anything to bring us to hell. And they are, as you know, powerful. Way beyond anything we could imagine on earth. That's how powerful devils are. If you don't pray to your guardian angel, you're in grave danger. He can protect you. Most of your temptations, most of our temptations come from the evil spirits. That is the doctrine of the church. It's in your catechism. Most of our temptations come from the evil spirits. They even tempted our Lord and Savior. Now we know that he wasn't tempted internally. We know that he felt no power drawing him in his soul because he was God. But nevertheless, to show us how real the devils are and how to overcome them, he allowed himself to be tempted, and then he told the apostles what had happened. That's how they knew about it. He told them, he related the story of his own temptations. And by the way, in this gospel, when Christ says that because they accused Christ of being controlled by Beelzebub, notice they didn't deny the miracle that he performed because it was undeniable. But they accused him. And he said, if you accuse me, who do your children, by whom do your children cast out devils? He's talking about the apostles, because the apostles were able to cast out devils. He's saying, all of your children are casting out, even the 72 disciples, they were able to cast out devils. And he's saying, who are they casting out devils by? Is this Beelzebub controlling all of these apostles and disciples? So clearly these were very evil men, and it was contrary to reason what they were accusing him of being able to control the devil by the power of Beelzebub. In other words, the army would have turned against itself. The devils were fighting against devils. That's what they were suggesting. Because he casts out devils. And so that's devils against devils. And that doesn't happen. They would have, as Christ said, they would have no kingdom left if they did that. So be careful, brethren. Last thing we want to mention to you is this woman who praised the Mother of God because she bore Christ and she nursed him. We have been criticized personally because we have some grudge against Protestants, because we speak often about the Protestants. So just for the record, we love Protestants. We pray for them. And we speak about them so that people will know what their fallacies are, their mistakes, so that they can be corrected. And we are not modern, we are not modernist, a modernist heretic. So we do not believe that the Protestants can go to heaven without conversion to the Catholic faith. They must, by the time they die and are judged, they must be Catholics. We do not believe everyone is going to heaven. We believe everyone is given a chance, as we have mentioned to you, and many people are saved who do not appear to be Catholics because they are given a chance to embrace the faith. Protestants do not go to heaven if they remain Protestants. And so we bring that up because they like to quote this scripture about what Christ said when this woman praised his mother, And they say that Christ was basically putting his mother down, contradicting the woman and putting his mother down, because he said, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Meaning, no, my mother is not blessed because she bore me. That's what the Protestants say. That's what they claim Christ is saying. The fact is, Christ was referring to his mother. She is blessed because she heard the word of God and kept it. It's a reference to her immaculate conception, brethren. She was sanctified the instant of her creation, and she was raised above all creation. So she's above all men and angels, all the saints and angels put together. She's above them, and she was at that instant of her creation. That's what our Lord is referring to. So don't fall prey to that Protestant line that our Lord and Savior himself criticized what this woman was saying. We want to mention to you also that even though he's not a good authority, Martin Luther said, we have no choice but to believe that our Blessed Mother was conceived immaculately. Now, he may be in hell. We don't know where Martin Luther is, but he said some beautiful words. He said, it's impossible that she could have not, that she was not conceived immaculately. He was very emphatic about it. He was a Protestant. So, brethren, be careful about your salvation and take, if you don't take the words seriously of us and all of the saints, take the words seriously of Aristotle, a Protestant, a pagan philosopher who told us, concentrate on the divine. May God bless you.